Okay, good evening. Parshas Kisavo. All right, we already could smell Rosh Hashanah. As Gemara says in Megillah, it's a psikta, that Ezra Sofer already instituted that we should read the Tochacha of Kisavo before Rosh Hashanah, and it's supposed to be represent the idea, right? Tech l'shana v'klal oseha, tochel shana v'birchoseha, right? That the old year goes out with all the curses, and the now starts the new year with all its blessings. That something which we'll have to explain a little bit more. You know, what sounds nice. Let's say what it means. That, you know, reading the Tocha with all the curses represents the year that's going out. So Tich L'Shana V'Klal said, the year ends with all its curses. The new year begins with all its blessings. So, which I have to look into that a little bit more. But here's the thing. It never works out that way. Because ever since we went on the regular annual cycle of finishing the Torah once a year, the Rambam makes mention of this in Hilchos Tefillah. He said, even though there was this Takkara of Ezra, so back in the old days, they used to finish the Torah once every 3 years. So they would read the Tocha of Mishneh Torah, you know, Tocha of Parshas Kisavo as a maftir, the Shabbos before, Rosh Hashanah. And now we try to work it out by putting it all on the regular annual cycle. But it doesn't work out that way because we always have Nitzavim, always, between Kisavo and Rosh Hashanah. So it's never that way that Rosh Hashanah is right after Parshas Kisavo. So how are we upholding this idea of Tachos Shana, Tichos Shana V'Klal Seh, Tachos Shana Brichos Seh, when it's not really right next to the New Year? Yes.
It says that by Shavuos also, right?
That's correct. That's right. So that's why. Right. Excellent.
So in what sense is Shavuos a New Year?
Yeah. That's correct. Well, the truth is that you're raising an excellent point that the Shavuos was meant to be the new year, in the sense that at the time of creation, right, on the sixth day of creation, when Adam was created, which was the first of Tishrei, so it says at the end of that day, Vayer Vayboker Yom HaShishi, the sixth day, so it's referring to the well-known sixth day, sixth of Sivan, that the world was conditional, right, that if Am Yisrael accepts the Torah, right, the world will endure, and if not, not. So now by plan A, really, right, all that was necessary to grant the world its ongoing existence and right to exist would have been Shavuos, the accepting of the Torah. Right? Problem is that we sort of walked back and reversed what Shavuos has accomplished because of Chet HaEgel. Right? So the first tablets got broken, and we need the second tablets, which by no coincidence we get on Yom Kippur. Right, and so, and I think we spoke about this last time, Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, all the part of the process of getting the second tablets. We spoke about that very much Rosh Hashanah is actually a tikkun for things that got corrupted, how the power of Shavuos got mitigated. This is how, or let's put it this way. Let me ask you like this. Let's say, in an alternate timeline, Am Yisrael would have never done the Egel Azov. Right? Would there be a Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, Rosh Hashanah, I mean, your pshat, you said, in other words, that guys, we have a shiva. It's good to learn, but it's a little bit, what do you call it? What you say with Psalach, in other words, you said the first 30 days was, you broke up to 30 and 10 last
night. Right.
What was that, you break up again?
Oh, creating the tablets, and then there's finally putting the writing on the tablets.
Right. I never heard. Is that your original thought?
The breakup is mine, but the general idea is already in Svar.
Right. Because I mean, seemingly Rosh Hashanah doesn't jump out on that timeline because it really Rosh Hashanah harkens back to creation.
Right.
Creation.
That's the point. Creation.
That timeline is
but at the time of creation, which was the first Rosh Hashanah, the day that Adam was created, it was all made conditional on Shavuos. And what I'm telling you right now is a Sfas Emes. I think it's in the Likutim. And he, based on this, he wants to explain a sign that says in the Kisvei Ari that if a person is sin-free during all the days of the Omer, leading up to Shavuos, he has nothing to worry about from the din of Rosh Hashanah. There's a statement like that in the Ari. And the Sfas Emes explains it like this, because really, the whole Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur thing is plan B, because part of the tikkun of Shavuos was, you know, reversed with Cheda Ego. But you're holding on track A, because you did the Omer well, you did Shavuos well, you don't have to worry about the din of Rosh Hashanah. That's how he explains it, right? So like the original Shavuos was supposed to be like, you know, as it were, the big Rosh Hashanah, because by the original Rosh Hashanah, when the world was finalized, right, it was made conditional on Am Yisrael accepting the Torah, and that should have been enough, right? But then that got reversed with Chet HaEgel, and that's why we got to rebuild, right? We got to rebuild, you know, and I have another shiur that I intend to give on this, of explaining exactly what got ruined and how Rosh Hashanah fixed exactly what of Shavuos got ruined. Right, but by plan A, you know, the world was created on Rosh Hashanah. I mean, would finalize those creation of Adam, and it was supposed to earn its existence, you know, on Shavuos,
which is the kind of the culmination of Nisan to a certain degree.
Yeah, the culmination of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yeah, it was all Tavnos Hakim, right? Tavnos Hakim al Harazeh. But I'm glad you brought it up, because I want to actually quote from a Medrash in Parshas Bechukos, right? Talking about the Inyan of the Tochacha in general. The Pasuk says, right, in Bechukosai Telechu, so we have the Toch over there, so the Pasuk in Tilim says, Chishavti Drachai, Vashiva Ragli El Eidosecha, right, I thought about my path in life, and I brought my legs back to your statutes, right, so there's a whole slew of different pshatim over here. I want to jump down to the one that it directly relates to Parshas Bechukosai and the Tochacha. So Dorbel says, Chishavti Darki. I thought about my path, and I made a cheshbon nefesh, and I brought myself back to mitzvah observance. What was the Chishavti Darki? What was the cheshbon that David HaMelech made? So says the Medrash. Rabbi Menachem Chatan of the Rebbe Elazar bar Avinu Amar Chishavti Ma Shekotzav Torah Bechukosai Telechu Maksi Taman Vesati Shon Baratz V'lo Tishmi Maksi Taman V'yasavti Yasro Aschem. Right, I made a simple cheshbon. It says in the Torah in Bechukosai Telechu, you get all the good things. Right, and it says over there V'im Lo Tishmu Li, you get all the bad things. So it's a simple cheshbon. It's a no-brainer. You should do good and be good, because then you get good. Right, but then the Medrash goes on to make it a little bit more particular. Right, Rabbah Bereid, Rabbi Chia, B'Shem Yosef Mar, Chishavti Brachos, Chishavti Klolos. I weighed up the brachos in the Torah, and I weighed up the klolos, the tochacha. Brachos me aleph ad tov. Brachos, right, start from aleph and tov. The Mefarshim explain how it works out in the different respective parshas, Bechukosai and Kisavo. But I remember offhand how it works in parshas Bechukosai. As it says, Im Bechukosai Teichu, so it starts with Aleph, and it ends off, Ve'olech Eschem Kome Miyus, ends off with the Tav. So it goes from Aleph to Tav. Right? And so the brachas go from Aleph to Tav. Right? Klolos Min Vav, but hey, klolos go from the letter Vav to Hey. Right? In the portion we explained, I remember the example from this week's portion, Vim Lo Tishmuli, and that's a V'ein Kone. So V'im Lo Tishmuli and Ein Kone, it goes from Vav to He. Right? V'lo El Shin Apuchas, so not only, so like Apuchas is from Aleph to Tav, close only from Vav to He, V'lo El Shin Apuchas, not only that, at least it should be Hey Vav, it's not even that, it's Vav Hey. It's in reverse order of the Aleph base. Right? Amar Rav Avin, so Rav Avin finishes off the thought on this. Im zachisem, harini hofech lechem klolos to brachas. Right, if you're zoche, I will convert the klolos to brachas. Emasai, when is that? Right, kishetishmu is torasim, you're going to keep my Torah, ado, dechsev, is what it says, im bechukosai telech. Right, well, what's going on here? Do melch, you know, you just got to know what's better, brachas or klolos. Right, I know, brachas is better, because it has the oisius aleph to tov. Right, klolos is not as good, right? Because it goes only has two oisius, you know, the space between two Oisias, and not only that, it's backwards. What is that? Well, you don't know the difference between bracha and klala. What is being said over here? All right. Well, what is David HaMelech's Chakira? Right. What was he clearing? What's the message? This is from Aleph to Tav. This is a Hey, and it's not even Hey to Vav, it's Vav to Hey, which also means the whole thing is reversible. So it can't be that he's asking, you know, which one feels better. You don't bring a riot from a pasuk that, you know, that the brachas feel better than klolos. That's obviously, that can't be what's going on. What was David HaMelech's clear? What was his chakira? What was on his mind? The question that probably bothers anybody that has challenges in life. Right? Like, it is, say like this, very, very, very crudely, right? Is life good? Just you have some rut patches here and there, right? Or is life bad? But it's not totally bad. You have some good times, right? You have some good times also, you know? How do you look at it? It's a question of how to look at, you know, a world view. You know, there's the good and there's the evil in the world, right? Are they equally existent? Are they equally as, you know, as real? Equally as enduring, right? The question that, you know, bothers anybody on a bad day, right? You know, how's life? How is the universe? Good place, you know, just, well, you know, has a few rough spots, or it's a bad place, but not totally bad, right? Or maybe it's equal, 50-50, right? Are they equally as real, the good and the evil, right? So with this in mind, you know, so you go to the Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim discusses this, and Rambam makes a very interesting observation, right? It depends whether you're looking at the klal, you're looking at the whole, right? Or you're looking at the detail. There's the rule, right? The rule is the klal, right? How do we come up with the rule? How do we establish something as a rule? As in a law of nature, right? To say the law of gravity. Well, we repeat the experiment over and over again, and we see that it happens at least most of the time in most of the places. So we call it a rule, right? There are exceptions to the rule that we can't explain, but we also don't worry about them because the chances are it won't happen again. It's a glitch, right? And since it's a glitch, you know, maybe I didn't measure the situation correctly, maybe my measurements were off, right? We have this in science all the time, you know, when we, and we have this in statistics, right? So we, you know, there's, you know, what repeats itself over and over and over again, and seems to, you know, be in every time and in every circumstance, that becomes the rule, right? But there's clearly exceptions to the rule, but we don't worry about the exceptions to the rule, right? Because they're exceptions. They're not rules. So they're not. We don't have to worry about it happening again. Right? Now, the truth is, you know, Paro, right, in Mitzrayim, you know, what was going through his head? You know, he had, you know, the whole river turned to blood, right? And then, you know, he had the frogs. And, you know, for the first few times, he didn't need God to strengthen his heart. He did a good job all by himself. What was going through his head? What? So the pasuk says he saw Vayarshem Kisar. Hashem saw it left. It was a glitch. Won't happen again. You know, because the way life was before this Moshe character came was, the Nile was flowed with water and the frog population was under control, etc., etc. Glitch. Won't happen again. And this is how the Maharal explains what it means, Etzba Elokim hi. So everyone knows the famous statement in the Haggadah of Pesach that Kamalaku be'etzba, that's what I call the finger, right? 10. So, and on the Yam, it was a Yad, right? So times 5. Says the Maharal, you know, without getting into all the amazing amount of questions that this answers, what's, you know, the difference between a finger and a hand is not just the difference numerically. You know, it's not just 1 versus 5. And so it's the difference between a detail and a whole. A detail and a whole, right? Finger is a detail, single digit, right? and a hand is a whole. Like the by Kriyas Yamsuf, there was no room to deny and say it's a glitch because all the waters in the world split. All the waters, and water itself is a klal and not a prat, that it was a yad, it was a whole hand. And you see that the power of miracles is not a glitch, an exception to the rules of nature that even, you know, happen all the time, but science doesn't worry about it because since it's an exception to the rule, we don't have to worry about it coming back again. Hamikra eno matmi is what our medieval scholars say. That's where they coined it. Something that's by incident, it doesn't happen twice. You know, it's a mikra, it's an incident, it's the ultimate klal. Right, that's how power excused all the 10 makas. All 10 are called, even though it was said by Makav Kirmi, called them all a finger. You know, it's an exception to the rule. Life will get back to normal. Life will get back to normal. Right, by Kriyas Yamsuf, we see a whole ocean split. This is not a glitch. Right, this is a whole hand. Right, you see that the power of the spirit, you know, the power of the supernatural is not a glitch in the laws of nature, it is a whole system in its own right. Right? Without getting into the whole depth of it, we'll talk more about it, you know, by Pesach, Be'ezer Hashem. But there's the whole, which is the rule, and there's the exception to the rule that, you know, the exception to the rule doesn't happen twice, right? So you can say like this, it's not, the exception to the rule is not as real as the rule. Because the rule is, and what you can expect to repeat itself and happen again and again, and you could bank on it, and you could count on it. Right? The exception to the rule happened for whatever reason, can't depend on it. Can't bad, don't expect it to happen again. And so that way, the exception to the rule and the rule are not equally existent. One is, you know, is the regular natural state, and one isn't. So now, with that in mind, says the Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim, if you take a big view of life, right? Life as a whole, right? You look at, you know, the cosmos, and you look at, you know, the whole, and then also the whole of time. Say, life is great. Life is unbelievable, right? And I do believe he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't lying when he said, by creation, Ve'elokim ki tov, Ve'elokim ki tov. No, hey, you know, what exists is good. You know, the laws of nature are unbelievable. The laws of nature, you know, and the other laws that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, you know, that we could use, like the laws of economy, et cetera, laws of biology, it's all good. It's all really good. It's amazing. Right? Now, the person who's having a bad day, right, says the Rambam, right? The Rambam has very little patience for these people over there. He says, there's a guy who's, his bad day is his whole universe, right? He's not thinking about the great day he had yesterday, the great day he had tomorrow. Right? Not thinking about that even if he could prove that his whole life was miserable, but you are just one of how many million? Billion on the planet, right? And even the billion that are on the planet, they're just one generation out of all the generations. It says anyone who thinks big and thinks klal, you know, thinks, you know, the rule and the general, will see everything's good, right? The people who are, you know, miserable, they're focusing on isolated details, and they just can't get their head off of it, right? And even if a person himself wasn't zochet to the life he always wanted, but if a person can at least realize his place, right, in time and space, right, they just, all right, life is good, you know. Didn't work out for you in particular. It doesn't mean life is bad. Life is good. You know, whatever didn't work out for you, didn't work out for you. And he says, Joey, these people, if they would just think big, they'd realize their life is not so bad after all. You have to think, you know, the klal, right? Not the prat. And he says, and he's very adamant that anything bad in life, you know, when you know, relative to the whole of the universe and the whole of time, you'll see. It's just a snapshot, you know, a particular time and a particular incident, right, that happened, you know, in the world, in course of history, right? So therefore, you could say that the tov is the rule, right? And the ra is the exception to the rule, and the rule is what is, right? The ra is, you know, therefore the exception to the rule. It's not only a fraction of the time, but you can say it's not even as real, because it's not a rule. It's an exception to a rule. So With that Moran Nebuchim, you can understand at least the first part of the Medrash. What the Omer says, brachas are from Aleph ad Tav. Aleph to Tav represents the whole. You know, from beginning to end. Right? The klolos only from Vav to He. Vav to He. Right? So, first part of the Medrash becomes clear in light of that Moran Nebuchim, that the Dabar HaMelech realized, you know, that the Torah dropped a hint. A hint that, you know, the human mind could never be able to arrive at that conclusion with certainty itself, right? That the Tov and the Ra are not equally existent. The Tov is the cloud, from Aleph to Tov, right? The Ra is just, you know, as it were, in the space of two Osius. It's a detail, right? It's not a rule. The rule is good, right? The Ra is the exception. So a person should never think, as it were, that the evil is equally as existent as the good. I mean, God forbid, you know, if you would ever fall into a belief like that, that the evil is just as bad as good, you should be a Satan. You could be a Satan worshiper just as much as a God worshiper. Go with the evil. Right? It's not equally as real. You know, once we're talking about this, I mentioned this when we had a brief series on the Rambam's 13 Ikarim. You know, in the belief that God is the one and only power, which really has to do with this. It has to do with the fact that, you know, we believe, you know, that God is the one and only real power. That's our belief in the unity of God, Hashem Echad. And that's why also we believe good will ultimately triumph over evil, because he's good, right? And he's the one real power. And that's why the good will defeat the evil. But let's say, Mar Shiva, Rav Yaakov Warnberg, Zichron Levrach, Rav Shiva of Ner Yisrael, raised the following question. Let's say you didn't believe that, right? You're a secular person, right? Now you got to understand. Let's say you're in a place like Guam, right? And you get approached by the United States. You know, let us set up a military base in Guam, right? You get approached by North Korea. Says, listen, you know, don't do business with the Americans. Do business with us, right? And the Americans say, if you go with the North Koreans, you're at war with the United States, right? The guy in North Korea, the guy, you know. Bad haircut, right? Right? He says, if you go, you know, you go with the Americans, you're in trouble with North Korea, and you're not a man of faith. You're a pragmatic guy. Who are you going with?
Well,
the United States is the largest state.
Yeah, but you're
going to
be
closer
to North Korea.
Right. Come on. You go with North Korea. It's Pasha. It's very. Let's go through this. You know, let's go through all the possibilities. Let's go through all the possibilities, right? Right. You know, the only possibility you're safe with is that you go with the United States. The United States wins, right? Right. Let's say you go with the Koreans and the Koreans win, right? Right. So, you're safe. Right, you go with the United States, and the Koreans win. Right, you're dead meat. You know they'll take bitter in the comma. Right, you go with the Koreans, and the Koreans lose. What are the Americans going to do to you? Nothing. They're good. They're good people. Right, they don't do bad things. Right, you're always safe going with the bad guy. Always. Because the good guy, he doesn't have the guts to punish you bitterly for what you've done. Just say you were a victim, right? And they'll throw money at you, right? Victim, and anyone can use any bathroom they want. They'll throw money at you, right? Right? The truth is, you know, the Chafetz Chaim used to say, that the... He tells Talmidim, never fight with anyone unless you're both stronger than they are and less erlich. You have to be both stronger and also less moral if you're ever going to fight with someone. And therefore, since you guys are Shia Bachrim, therefore it's not good to fight with anybody. So stronger, that's pashut. Why do you have to be less moral? Don't fight with someone unless you are more evil than he is.
One hand tied behind your back, I guess.
Right, because the guy who's less moral than you will always move the confrontation to that red line you're just not willing to cross. That's why we can't beat the Palestinians, b'derech hateva. We can't. They're willing to, you know, set up rockets and in schools and in hospitals. Well, we can't. We don't have it in us to, like, you know, level a school full of kids or a hospital full of sick people. We can't, and we won't, right? So why does the good win? The evil should always win, and the safest thing should always be to be with the evil. The answer is because the good and the evil don't equally exist. Because the good is real, and the evil isn't. And that's why good wins. But, you know, in simple cheshbon, right, if without this emunah, that the tov is more real than the ra, crime always pays. Now, kids, no, crime doesn't pay, right? But it's because we believe, right? We believe, ain't old novado. Believe that the good is real and the ra isn't. But if they would be equally existent, of course you'd go with the evil. Right? And that's what Dovah Melech is saying. Brachas me'alef atov. Right? The brachas are, you know, they are the whole. They are reality. Right? The bad stuff in life is just the exception, just the space between two oisyos. All right, but now we have to get to another idea, and that's understanding that it's in the backwards flow from above to hey. Right, so what's that about? So what do the letters hey and vav represent? So it's not, you know, the evil is not, it's not even in the space, in the natural space between these two osiyos, it's in the reverse flow. Right? So what do the letters, you know, the osiyos hey and vav represent? So it says in the Maharal, it says in the writings of the Goyin, right, that hay represents chomer. It represents material, mass. And that's why hay is the widest letter, has the most space in it. It takes up space, like mass, right? But it's disjointed, you know, it's like, you know, you have that leg broken off, you know, from the other two legs, right, which Chazal said talks about, you know, the perils of Olam Hazeh, which is the physical world, easy to fall out, the big, you know, no floor, easy to fall out. You could get back in, but it's hard with tshuva through a little entrance on the side, right? It's chomer. What does the vav represent? The vav represents tsura, giving it a form. It's a line. A line connects the points. Right, the word, what a line is. You know, it's the word vav itself means a connection, like vaveha amudim, right? The hinges that, you know, the clips that held the amudim together, right? my Rebbe Moshe Shapir Zichrono Livracha, you know, used to explain, you know, that's what it means. Chamisha miyodea, chamisha ani yodea, chamisha chumshei Torah. Shisha miyodea, shisha miyodea, shisha sidrei Mishnah. The Torah Shebichsav is 5. The Torah Shebaal Peh is 6. If you look at the relationship between the Torah Shebichsav and the Torah Shebaal Peh, that's their relationship. Right? The Chumash, it gives you like source material, but, you know, if you think about it, there's not a single mitzvah you could do just based on Pesukim in the Chumash alone. Not a single. Chotnish Kintzura. Like Bris Mila. All right, it says, right, you know, it sounds all good. You know, this is our covenant. Never says where to cut. Never says how much to cut. Right, and you know, and any mitzvah in the Torah, right? So it has source material in the Chumash, but it doesn't have a tzura. It has no. You can't imagine what the mitzvah is supposed to look like and how to follow it through. That's what the Torah Shebaal Peh does. So God, that the Torah Shebaal Peh, the Shisha Sidrei Mishnah gives form to the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. You know, how the Gemara, you know, Chazal work with the Pesukim and with the Midrash Torah Shebaal Peh, you know, pull out a detailed plan of what the mitzvah is supposed to look like and how the mitzvah is supposed to be performed. That's really the interaction between the Torah Shebaal Peh and the Torah Shebichsav. That's why the Torah Shebichsav is 5 and the Torah Shebaal Peh is 6. You know, can I get Hey and Vav, right? And that's, you know, the really natural progression that we know, you know, in biology, that the things go from Chomer to Tzura, right? By conception, for the first 40 days, the Gemara says the embryo is Maya Ba'alma, just water. It doesn't have a Tzuras Havlad, doesn't have a tzura, right? On the fourth day, it gets a tzura savlat, right? It starts getting a shape, and then it grows and morphs in that shape. And then we know that that's how things continue, even after birth. The organs, the tzura, hardens. It's like, newborn baby's more flesh than it is, it could barely move. It's the tzura, right? Until it reaches maturity, it's more getting more and more of a form, a human form, especially if the child's being educated and reared and, he's becoming more and more of a tzuras adam, more and more of a tzelem elokim, right? And then even on lower forms, like even plant life, the seed initially just decays in the ground, and then it becomes a sapling, and it gets the shape, the tzura of a tree, that's called, progression. Go from, first you start off with the raw material, and then you give it a shape. Like the way you make anything, you melt down the iron and then you shape it. You go from chomer to tzura. First you, set up the raw material, and that's the way God himself created the world, right? Day one, right? He created all the raw material. Bereshit bara kim shamayim va'aretz, but it was tov vavo, right? It was, shapeless and formless. And then in the course of the next 5 days, with the next nine ma'amaros, next nine arts, he's giving shape. Right, to that raw material. Okay? So we see that that's the way it works. Right? So now, but then an amazing thing happens. Right? At what, when it maxes out at one point, right? Like a person reaches full maturity. Ben shloshim lekoach. Right? Right? That's what the Chazal say, relying on Chazal, that, 30 is when you're at the height of your strength. Right? Then from that, it's all downhill from there. Right? We're Iluyim. We start our downhill descent earlier. Right? We're prodigy. Right? We start at 21, right? But Chazal envisioned that it's all downhill from the age of 30. Right? Why does that happen? For the first 2 decades, right? You're just getting bigger and stronger. Right? And the same thing with your mental development. That's when your mind is at charge. Then there's degeneration. Why should that be? It goes against the initial natural state. Like, where does that come from? Now, you understand, this is, in logic, this is an amazing kasha, that things are, going in the reverse flow of where they came. And now, when you take an analytical look at what aging or decaying is, it is mamish what I'm saying. Right? The matter starts losing its form. It's not losing matter, it's losing form. The guy who's aging and, everything is, going kaput, right? Or anything that's aging, right? Like a table, the edges of the table were sharpest when he first bought it. The table starts getting a little bit rounded, right? The table is losing its shape, right? It's not losing mass, right? Because we're taught matter could be neither created nor destroyed, right? A worn-out table probably weighs the same as a new table. Right? It's not losing mass; it's losing form. Right? So it's an amazing thing. It's it was originally a block of wood that got shaped, right? And then it's like, as it ages, time takes its toll, and it's reverting back to a shapeless piece of wood. That's amazing, because it first went this way, now it's making a total about face, going into reverse flow. So now we can understand why in the Seder of the Aleph Beis, right, it goes Hey Vav, right? Because that's natural progression, Chomer, and then Tzura, right? You start with the raw material, then you add to it a form, a refined form, right? Now, all forms of things, decaying, is not that the mass is not getting lost. Rotten grapes weigh the same as fresh grapes, right? It's losing its form. It's losing the form of fresh grapes, It's changing form. It's not changing mass. And that's amazing, because when the thing grew, right, initially, right, so, the grapevine was taking the water and all the other nutrients and giving it the shape of grapes, right? And now it's all reverting, right? It says, I've said that the why this is hard on the human brain to understand, right? Why should the flow be reversed? The flow is going this way, moving, from amorphous to refined, and all of a sudden the flow is going the other way. And that cloud guddle, right, to anything that's being lost, anything that's decaying, anything that's aging. It's, if you think about what's happening, it's losing its form. No, anything goes through anything physical, but it's because of the humans. It's called Chet Adam Rishon. When death came into the world, which it was never meant to be, right? Like scientists, from what I understand, have not yet found the gene. They say we're programmed. We're just programmed to age and die. Like, why can't the cells keep on replacing themselves, like in kids? Why can't the cells just keep on replacing it? Why can't a person live forever? Why can't anything last forever? So, Adam, brought death into the world for himself, but then, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Avura ha'adama ba'avurecha. The whole earth is cursed because of you. Right? He brought the whole death forth, the Arura, the Klolos, what we're talking about, Klolos. Arura ha'adama ba'avurecha. That curse, the klolos that we're talking about, the tochacha, we created that. It's not in God's world, right? It's what we did to the world. It's the damage that we did. And it's totally against the grain of nature, right? Baruch Shem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us refuah, borei refuas, right? And then, we see the miracle of the body heals itself every day. So why can't we prepare? Why do we age and die? It goes against the whole grain of the power of the body to heal itself. Right. If a broken bone, right, could heal, right, Baruch Hashem, so why do we age? Why can't we keep on, replacing the cells that are aging? Mayash. At one point, it just moves backwards against the natural, against the, an about face to the initial natural flow. We did that. Right, it's not hard to imagine. Right, now they talk in genetics. They talk about trying to find the gene that has the aging program. Get rid of it. People will live forever. Now they're talking about it in genetics. They're trying to find the gene. I don't think it's just a gene, right? It's a problem with the cosmos, right? But it's truly. It is astounding, because things generally go from Chomer to Tzura, and the idea of all forms of klola, all the forms of breakdown. Breakdown is not a lack of mass, it's a lack of form. The thing loses its form. The world weighs the same. God, after Harvey and before Harvey, if you could put the earth on a scale, it still weighs the same. Right? Just the tzura of all the houses that got destroyed, the tzura of the houses got lost, right? The tzura of, lost its tzura. The Homer is all there. It's the same, Earth weighs the same before Harvey and after Harvey. It all comes from us, right? So in God's world, it was never meant to be. If Adam would have never eaten from the Eitz Hadas, it was meant to be that things would only go to more refinement and greater refinement. Imagine if Adam wouldn't have eaten from the Eitz Hadas. So when comes Shabbos, he goes right into Olam Haba, and we reach that level of loss of love, of Yechu Mechayel Ochayel. We have no rest. We keep on growing, perpetual growth. Right, like it's going to be in the future. B'meir B'yameir says, "Yelchu mechayel el chayel." We just go from strength to strength. Right? It was meant to be that way. It's not that way because of us. Not because of anything inherent in the creation. Now, creation just gave us the potential to screw it up, but it's not. It wasn't meant to be that way. So just like in the Ordi Abbas, it's Hey Vav. So David Melch notes, "Hey, this." So building off the first point that the Ra is just a prat. It's not a klal. Right? But even this prat is in the reverse flow from vav to hey, and it wasn't meant to be that way. It's supposed to be hey vav. And that's why, im zachisem ani mahapech lachem, klolos brach, that's why God says, just get your act together. I'm going to convert all the curses into blessings. Because the whole existence of even this exception to the rule, even this exception to the rule, goes against the grain of nature. It was never meant to be this way. So now, you know, you have to understand that, you know, it's hard to imagine we view time, right, as the great robber, right? We're coming to a closer. We view time as, the big, robs us of our youth, robs us of our resources, because nothing lasts forever. And we view time as the great robber, right, that steals what we have, takes away what we have, depletes what we have, right? Does it have to be that way? Maybe time brings new opportunities that there never were yet. Right? That sometimes, we could reach higher madrid in a different world where we'd have our act together. You know, you wouldn't have Yerida Sadoros, you'd actually have Aliyah Sadoros. Right? That the new generation, if they would have their act together and not lose what they was passed on to them, so they would just be adding. Right, and the new zmanim that come would bring new energies. The new times will bring new eris, new energies into the world, which is the way it's going to be in Olam Haba. Every moment in Olam Haba, it'll never get boring, because every moment will be a new energy that there wasn't before. And that's why for all eternity, it'll be onik. It'll never get boring. Never get boring. Right? It could have been that way even now, right? Except that we brought the power of death into the world. So as time passes, the power of death is activated, right? But if there wouldn't be any power of death, the passage of time would have just been about, bringing newness to the world, not causing things to age, but causing more and more newness, new energies that there never were before. So just be going from new to new to new to new. And that's what we have repeated so many times in our parasha, that you have to have Chol Menecha Kechadoshim comes up in this Rashi and a few times. This part, always look at mitzvahs as if today you were commanded. Always look at Torah as if it's new. It should always be fresh. It should always be fresh, because a new day is a new energy that there never was. But for us, time is having a different effect on us because of the death program that we created. That time is also allows that program to unfold. But that's not what time was supposed to be about. Time was supposed to be about bringing new energies into the world. You absorbed those energies. Here are new energies. And just going from new to new to new, which is very much a theme in this week's parasha, in the good times. You see, it comes over, up again, over and over and over again. Celebrating new, it should always feel fresh. Right? So if there's a concept of, a year going by, so like now Rosh Hashanah is coming. How do you look at that? A year going or a year coming? How do you look at it? How do you look at it? Another year lost. I'm 1 year, another year of my life gone, right? Or you look at it, no, new year, right? New year. And that's what Chazar is saying. Tichle shana v'klolo seha, tochel shana b'chosah. If you want to take a view of time being lost, tichle shana, a year lost, right? That's a view for the bad things in life. Right? That the bad things in life have passed, because the bad things in life are not meant to endure. The idea of tichle shana, of looking at time lost, time gone, right? That's a view for bad things. And anyone who looks at time that way is just living a life of badness and seeing black wherever he looks. Tichle shana is on klolo seho. Tochel shana, new year beginning, that's a life of bracha. That's a life of bracha. Right? Looking at that new year, new opportunities. And are you a klola-minded or bracha-minded? Right? Klola-minded, you look at tichle shana. You're bracha-minded, it's tochel shana.
Forward-looking or are you backward?
That's right. So Chazal tell you, backward-looking is for klolas. And that's also a way to look at life. Anything bad is in the past, because the bad doesn't last. The bad is not really part of reality. So the bad has expired and left. Bracha's forever. So on a bracha track, new year's just new energy. Right?
No, but that year that passed.
Yeah.
When you looked a year before to that year, it was the new year with the brochos.
Yeah.
So there is some brachos even in the year that passed with the klalos.
Yeah, so there's a famous part of the Satmar Rabbanat. Mereshis Hashana Ad Achshana. At the beginning, at the Reish Hashana, this is going to be Hashana, this is going to be the year, right? And then Acharis Shana, right? Another year like all the others, right? Mereshis Hashana Ad Acharis Shana. Right, so for Satmar Rabbanat. It's so true, right? This is going to be the year. It's going to be Hashana, right? At the Reish, then Acharis Shana. No different than the one before. Yeah, but it has the potential. So in Parshas Kisava, where we explore the Tov and the Ra, and we have to have it on our minds, right before Rosh Hashanah, where we'll be Omed Bedin, right? Omed Bedin, and we have to do our best to move everything towards Bracha and away from Klola, right? With all the hurricanes, we're getting reminders, getting wake up calls. It's Mamash the Parsha the Tochacha, and all the Rabbanim, have to be more of their kilos for tshuva this weekend, I hope. And now there's Irma, here's Jose coming after Irma. Hashem Yirach. It doesn't get more obvious. Does it get more obvious to Rebbe Shem's calling? It doesn't get more obvious. Chazal tell us, first of all, a lot of Yidden have been hurt. But Chazal say, even when going, Ein Puronius Ba La'olam El Bishvil Yisrael. Whenever there's a calamity in the world, it's for Am Yisrael to take Musar, like learn from them, so it doesn't happen to you. Right? So the Rabbonim have to, this weekend, Mamash be more of the call to Tshuva. Mamash, Rebbe Shem's calling. But we have to read Parshas Kisava not right before Rosh Hashanah. We have to read it a week before. It has to be a week in the middle because we have to get our head straight about what time is about. Right? Instead of going with Yush, another year gone, we also have to understand, no, another year is coming. And on the Bracha track, just good things are coming ahead. On the Klala track, you lost another year of your life, right? And we have to change our perspective on time before Rosh Hashanah, to view Rosh Hashanah as an opportunity coming. And I say that there are special Siyat Yishmaya after Parshas Kisavo in these 2 weeks until Rosh Hashanah to have to live life with a different flow. Live a life where new day, new energy, new opportunity. That's what's Nis'ora after Parshas Kisavo, which is the correct perspective to have, not just on Rosh Hashanah, but already in preparation for Rosh Hashanah. The idea of building up to a new year, right? The bad things, taka, sink into the past, into oblivion. The good things are always ever present, just with more good things to come. We got to get that perspective in us before Rosh Hashanah, not the day before, but 2 weeks before, to properly build up in the proper anticipation of being mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu and moving the whole world to tachos shono birchosel.